Our first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Our second reading is from the second book of John, letter of John, verses 4 through 6. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." Here ends the readings.
Today's Gospel is from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." God, we thank you for being present this morning. May your presence just be felt. May you just speak this morning, Lord, in ways that we can hear and understand, that you would change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the gospel this morning talks about foundations and their importance. I guess, Adam, you build houses for a living. Foundation's important. You ever seen ones that were improperly built? Okay, and how does that make your job building the house on top of it? Very tough, right? Okay. Yeah, the foundations are important. And the Bible speaks about foundations in a number of places there, and it tells us how they're laid out, and that they have to be on rock, they have to be solid, and there has to be a cornerstone too, and we know who that is, right? Amen? Okay. We have to be aligned with Jesus in the way we build there. We even got hymns like "The Church's One Foundation." The importance of a foundation for keeping that building strong, it cannot be understated. It's important. But let's go deeper than the foundation. Let's go deeper. For those of you that have work construction like Adam, what do you put under the foundation? Glass 5, okay. You got to have the good soil there, right? All right, and once you got that one soil, you got to pour that footing, right? You got to have the footings in there. And that foundation, as important as it is, it has to rely on the footings. Can we get that diagram up there, please? So here we see it, the foundation and the footing. We got the footing down below, and then the class 5 gravel, like Eric said, you got to have that there. You got to have that good gravel. You got to have that good soil for drainage so it won't frost heave and things like that. Very important. So that footing is put down there first. And upon that footing, then you make the foundation. Then we have the anchor bolts and everything going up to the actual building. So to do that, first of all, you got to start with the excavation. You're going to have to get rid of any undesirable soil. Get that out of there so that we can put in the good stuff there. And upon that, then we can put our footings and then our foundation. So that will last. This can be built to last. It can weather the storms we're looking for. And you could say that building faith is similar in a way. In building your faith life. When you come to God and give yourself to him, is he going to do some excavation? Is he going to remove some undesirable material? Yeah. And sometimes we really don't want to see that go, huh? We want to hold on to that old stuff. But no, we have to open ourselves up so he can remove things from us, right? We all have things. Even if we've been excavated and have the foundations in place, we still have things that need to be removed. So you got to open yourself up that he can remove those things from your heart. And he can just put in that quality soil, that quality gravel, that'll have the drainage. When the storms come, the things won't pool up there. It'll just drain through you, right? The attacks come. You can just let them drain through. You're designed that way. You're built that way if you're built on him. And then you're not going to have the frost heaving and things like that taking place. So having that right soil there, so important. And then you got to have the footings on that. In the gospel this morning, it talked about like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. So the foundation is on something below, right? That rock is the footing there. And that rock is Jesus. It tells us in other places in the Bible too, right? Upon this rock. All right. So it's really important to have that. So you got the footings there, and then you got to build that foundation. And you got to put work into that too, right? Building your faith. Yeah, God will give you faith, but if you want to be strong, you got to take care of it, right? You got to maintain a foundation. Some of you ever lived in old farmhouses where you got the old rock foundation from probably back in the 1800s? Where the mice can get right in through there and then the water and stuff in the spring? Yeah. Do you have to maintain that foundation? Do you occasionally have to go in there and patch some things? Yeah, you do. It's important. But you think about it, that foundation has stood for so long in those old farmhouses. Isn't that just amazing? Something that maybe your great-great-grandfather laid those stones and is still standing. That is pretty cool. And for a lot of us too, maybe our great-great-grandfather passed on the faith to our great-grandfather, to our grandfather, or father to us. Now there's something to that. That can be passed on to others, and it can stand strong. It can weather those storms. And then we see the anchor bolts there. That could be a whole nother sermon right there. Just anchoring us, right? Anchoring us. Jesus as our anchor. You got to anchor yourself in him. That's a phrase that came out of the Tuesday morning text study. Jill reported back to me what they had studied there on these words, and they said you need to anchor yourself in him. And then as I'm researching for the sermon diagrams to show this, I saw this one with the anchor bolt. I thought, yep. Okay, God was setting up in advance. Pretty cool. So you got to anchor yourself to him. Okay, so we had those three steps. You got the excavation, you got the footings and the foundation. Three steps. And we actually hear three steps in the gospel this morning as well. What Jesus says here, as for everyone who comes to me, step one, come to me. Step two, here's my words. And three, puts them into practice. Then you're ready for that foundation. You're ready to be solid. Come to him, hear his words, and put them into practice. To come to him, he extends an offer. He's holding out his hand to everybody. A lot of you have already grabbed it. That's great. Hold on to that, and he'll hold on to you. It's like that fireman's grip, right? Where not only is one person holding on to one, the other's holding on to the other, right? If one slips, the other's still got it, right? But is he going to slip? No. He's not going to let go. Grab on to him. He's grabbing on to you. And when you got both hands or the wrist like that, you're safe. So come to him. He's got this offer he's holding out, and why wouldn't you want to take that offer, right? What's he offering? He's offering life. He's offering peace, forgiveness, joy, all these things. He's offering. He's holding it out to us, eternal life. Who wouldn't grab hold of that offer? And what's it cost? Nothing. Okay, just accepting it, right? Because he's already paid the price. Just accepting it. He's holding out that offer. I suppose it involves maybe surrendering our will and putting our wants aside at times. And some people don't want to do that. But ultimately, you look at it in the long run. Absolutely, we should. So to come to him, and with our heart in the right condition, right? A contrite heart, not full of pride, but just coming to him. Because God sees the heart. Remember in 1 Samuel when Samuel's picking out, you know, the future king, they may anoint them. They're bringing all of Jesse's sons along, and, you know, some of them are tall, handsome, good-looking, and stuff like that, but he says God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. Picked a young shepherd boy. Yeah, but he saw the heart of David, and that's what God looks at. That's the important part, right, that heart. So come to him with a heart in the right place there. He doesn't make us come to him. We have to choose to come to him. And I think he's got it right in that way. If our own free will, voluntarily coming to him, he could make us so that we have to come to him, we have to choose him, we have to worship him. Would that mean very much if you have to do it? When you want to do it, when you choose to do it, that means so much more. So he gives us that free will. He gives us that choice in every situation. But we can choose him, or we can say no thanks. Okay, so we have to come to him. The second thing was to hear him. To hear him. To hear what he says. And maybe not just hearing, but listening. There is sort of a difference there. Listening takes work, and maybe I'm studying for class or something like that, and Jill says something from the other room, and maybe I hear her, but do I always, you know, listen? Okay. To listen, yeah. Other people identifying here, huh? Okay. I'm not the only one. Yes, I feel better about that. Okay. Yeah, it takes work to listen to, you know, set aside what you're doing to give that person your full attention. That takes work. It also shows respect, shows love, shows caring. And when God speaks to us, yeah, we need to set things aside to give him our full attention and listen. Absolutely. So we have to take his words, we have to weigh him, we have to consider him, we have to think about him, and not only his words, we do that with any words that people give us, especially maybe with politicians or advertisers. We definitely need to consider and weigh the words, right? Okay. But yeah, we have to do that. And he speaks to us in so many ways, through his word, of course, through scripture, through other people, through that still small voice. There's so many ways that he speaks to us. And we need to listen, not just hear, but we need to listen to what he says to us. And again, that could be a whole nother sermon on what he says to us. What kinds of words, what kinds of things. That he cares, that he loves us, that he's there for us. Not condemning words, right? It's not going to be condemning words. He's inviting us in, telling us what we mean to him. All right, so we hear him, we listen, and then we respond. And that's the part where he says to put him into practice. Hearing is not enough. It says in the second part of that story, there is someone that hears but does not put them into practice. That's the man who built on the ground without a foundation. The storms came, and its destruction was complete. Destruction was complete. Not a little damage, complete destruction. And this person, you know, heard them. Heard the words. What are they missing out on? They didn't put them into practice, right? They're not living it. They're not living it out. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. To come to him, to hear his words, but then to live them out. To do what he says. James addresses this as well. James 1:22, and I got to read it so I get it right here. As it says so much in just a short verse there. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. By merely listening, we can be deceived, and we deceive ourselves. Yeah, the old human nature pops to the surface once again. We've all heard that voice. We still hear it. Do what it says. Be doers of the word, right? So do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Again, the importance of living it out. Yeah, we can listen. Okay, yeah, I heard, yeah, whatever. Then go do our own thing. Nah, got to live it out. He gives us the tools, he gives us the equipment, the ability to do that. He gives us the energy and the power to do that too. Just hearing those words and not living them out, that's like, I don't know, having a shelf full of exercise videos. They're there, but if you're not using them, yeah, they're not doing any good, are they? Or having a wonderful library of great classic books and not reading them. They're just sitting on the shelf, all that potential right there. And you're not taking advantage of it. Mark Twain once said that a man who does not read has no advantage over a man who cannot read. Having that ability, not putting it to use. It's of no value there. So again, we need to live it out. We need to take advantage of that. And maybe you don't have that great classics edition, you know, set of books and everything like that, but I bet you got this book. I would imagine most all you have a Bible at home. And hopefully it's not just sitting on that shelf. Hopefully you're spending time in it every day. If you're not, just be thinking about that. Read it in a way that it can speak to you, right? Not just words on the page, not just stories and history. Of course, there's a lot of history. There's poetry. There's everything else in there. But this is the living word, right? Come to it with the right heart. It's going to speak to you. It's going to change you. It's going to change your life. Be open to it. So living it out, we saw in 1 John 2 and Sweet Red, it was walk in love. And there's a great way to live it out there too. Walking in love. So that your life shows it. Yeah, storms are going to come. There's different types. You're going to have financial storms. You're going to have marriage storms, maybe job storms or relationship storms, all kinds of different storms. But if you follow these three things in life, if you come to him, you listen to him, and you put his words into practice, you're going to be able to weather many, 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 all types of storms. You can, with his help, leaning on his power. Not trying to do it on your own, okay? Leaning on him. Yes, you have to put your effort into it. You do. But ultimately, you're going to be dependent on him when it gets down to it. And you can weather these if you're connected to that footing, if you're connected to that solid rock, right? The rock, the redeemer, the stronghold, the fortress that does not move. Connected to him, you will survive it and show his glory as a result. So you need to dig down deep, folks. You need to excavate. Let him excavate. He decides what gets to be thrown out, what doesn't, right? We know we'd like to decide that. But he decides what needs to be excavated. Pour those footings. Take advantage of that rock. Build on it, right? Practice is the words. Put him into practice there. And live the kind of life where Christianity is a verb rather than a noun. Where you're living it, you're living it out, you're doing it. Amen.